Stand. With your hosts, Kate Lincott, Gary Martin, and Ann Todd Brown.
Every rose has its thorns.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary, Boo.
Carrie.
Wow. She's just flipping me off.
She's in that kind of mood this week.
She just flipped me off with her toes.
Because we're talking about UFO stuff, and she doesn't like the UFOs.
We got a big no.
Yeah.
Got a big X-nay on that. Which is interesting that she's on a paranormal podcast and has such a flamboyant aversion to UFOs.
Yeah. She's like a Shiite UFO disbeliever.
Yeah.
She's a
accurate
UFO fundamentalist.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really intense.
She really hates talking about, it's not just UFOs though, it's space.
I think it's almost more space.
It is more space. I tried to get her to watch this because it's not exactly about aliens.
Right.
Even though it is, we'll get into that.
It is. We'll get into it though.
But as you guys could hear, that was not a good pitch. For somebody who has written off space.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about a documentary called...
It's called Hunt for the Skinwalker.
It is Hunt for the Skinwalker. Yeah. So this documentary, I did not discover on my own. My husband, his way of showing love, like, you know, some people buy their wife flowers.
Sure.
My husband finds paranormal documentaries to watch.
Very nice.
Which is so sweet.
It is, yeah.
Because I feel like I'm his way of like dabbling in that world, you know, like, oh, well, my wife loves it. So
right.
I'll sit. I love her. I'll watch this. 10 minutes into it, I was already messaging you. And I'm like, we have to talk about this because I have to look up the director's bio on IMDb because the director's bio alone. And I should have had this pulled up. But again, OK, his name is Jeremy Kenyon Lockyer Corbell.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's too many names.
It's at least too many names.
Sure. Yeah. Let's hear that bio.
Jeremy Kenyon Lockyer Corbell is an accidental artist.
Wow.
He's best known for his immersive mixed media art exhibitions that combine fine art, fashion, and film.
So nobody knows who he is.
A warrior. Who trained jiu-jitsu for the majority of his life, teaching seminars around the world. The transition from warrior to filmmaker began when he acquired a near-fatal respiratory disease that changed his life. No longer able to train in the martial arts, Corbell, that's his last name.
Right.
Because I gave you 11 names.
Yeah.
Found strength in art.
Mm.
The recovery experience launched his new life as a filmmaker. Corbell was born in Los Angeles, the son of an immigrant father who founded an importing business, and a native Angeleno mother, the daughter of a watchmaker. How romantic.
That is romantic.
The middle of three boys, by the way, like, he wrote this for sure.
Oh, of course.
And I'm loving every second of it. The middle of three boys, Corbell began the study of jiu-jitsu at the early age of 9. Just park it for a second.
Okay.
Karate, 9-year-old activity.
Sure.
Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, not so, unless you're in Brazil or
Where
something.
Where is the weird uncle in this bio? That's what I need to know. Corbell's full birth name was Jeremy Kenyon Lockyer Corbell. His second middle name, Lockyer, was given to him to honor his great uncle, Edward Thomas Lockyer. I swear to God, I didn't know this was coming. Edward was a bare knuckle prize fighter and a grocer's assistant who was traveling to America from London in 1912. He was a third-class passenger on the Titanic and died in the sinking. His body was buried at sea.
Well, I was going to say he sounds like a warrior, but not till that Titanic thing.
Body number 153.
Nice.
There's a lot more, but I'm just going to... I'm going to skip down to my favorite part.
Yeah, when the Titanic comes up in a director bio, it better be James Cameron, goddammit.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It was 80 years ago that I started reading this bio. Because of his martial arts expertise and high-flying demonstration style... Where can we see this guy?
Sure.
Action?
Yeah.
Corbell has been sought out to consult on a number of films, such as the very famous... I Am Number 4.
Oh, sure.
Credit 2011. And Bunraku. Credit 2010. Corbell has also consulted for video games such as the popular Ultimate Fighting Championship series.
Wow.
Okay, so this is the guy at the helm of this weird documentary.
It is weird.
So
it's shot weird. The aspect ratio is weird for most of it.
The way he has written, it is the most expository documentary. It's, you know how The Conjuring has 11 endings?
Yes.
This documentary has 11 beginnings.
Kind of, yeah.
There are so many dramatic beginnings in this documentary. Now, before I launch into all the things about this, I'm going to say that my feeling about this documentary overall is a net positive. I'm not saying it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Sure.
But there is an appearance of a famous British...
Man, he just shows
R&B
up.
...thing.
Just all of a sudden he's there.
It makes you question everything that... Not the alien stuff that you see.
Yeah.
Not to spoil this, but there's like, you know, dissected cows. There's people with cancer. There's a lot that we're going to get to.
Right.
But this one appearance of this one person is the one thing that makes you go, what did I just watch?
Yeah. Yeah. Because one minute you're watching and then the next minute, can we just say who it is?
By all means.
Robbie fucking Williams. British pop sensation. Robbie Williams is just all of a sudden on Skinwalker Ranch.
If you are under 23, you might not even know who Robbie Williams is, first of all.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's important. So
if you're my age, you might not know.
Yeah, but like if you're under 23, there's no way that you know. Because I want to say in the late 90s, he had a moment here in America. Now, he's huge in the UK.
Very huge.
I will say that the documentary is creepy.
And it is
and I
creepy.
Listened to it again on the way up here tonight, and I think I got myself in like a weird headspace as a result. But anyway, when I saw him appear in the documentary, that was the one thing that came back to mind, which is this documentary, I mean this music video where he starts off singing on a stage, he takes his clothes off, then he takes his skin off.
Yes.
Then he rips his muscles off, and then he's just a skeleton.
Skeleton.
And Skinwalker.
Yeah.
So there's that. So let's just like there's just that element.
Right.
But then he doubles down. So it's already weird that he's here. Like
yes.
We're all going to have to deal with the fact that Robbie Williams is in this documentary. And I just want to bring up that we're talking about the last 20 minutes of this thing.
Yeah.
The
it's
rest
right
of it,
at the end.
The rest of it is basically a long YouTube PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
Which we will get to because there's some interesting stuff. But I really feel like this is the most interesting thing about the documentary.
Yeah, the fact that Robbie Williams is there is weird.
It's not just that, though. It's also how freaked out he looks.
Yeah.
His physicality is of a man afraid.
Right.
Like, he's really freaked out. Then the third blow comes when he reveals that he has had an experience with an alien or extraterrestrial people.
Right.
And he refers to himself as picking up a hitchhiker, meaning
yeah, I remember that.
His experience is that he was somehow taken over by an alien and lived that for a very undefined, cryptic.
We call those demons in this country, Robbie Williams.
That's what I want to bring up, though, because so here's the thing about this documentary. It is technically aliens. But the stories that come out of the documentary sound demonic to me. They don't sound like aliens.
Right. They sound...
The dissection stuff sounds like aliens.
The dissection stuff is not aliens. I have...
Okay, so let's go back in time to the beginning
right.
of the documentary
well,
and move forward.
We should explain what Skinwalker Ranch is.
By all means.
It's a gigantic ranch in Utah, which is famous for... paranormal and UFO activity.
Yeah, one of my favorite things that I guess I have to explain this now in order to talk about one of my favorite things.
Sure.
There's the Jiu-Jitsu 11 name director.
Right.
But he has seemed to have recovered footage from another man who started to make a documentary about it's like a Russian hatching doll of documentaries, because what that guy makes a documentary out of is a scientific exploration of the property, which is heavily documented.
Right.
It's all piggyback on each other. It's very weird.
Yeah, I thought that it did feel like two documentaries in one.
Yeah.
Probably because it's two documentaries in one.
So the first documentarian that attempted to kind of tackle this says, he says something like, You know, if there was an unofficial capital for UFO activity in Utah, it would be Skinwalker Ranch. And I'm like, is there an official?
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, that does imply that, because, you know, Salt Lake City is where they're all at normally.
I just don't understand taking the extra step to say, like, if there's an unofficial capital.
Yeah, that's a weird way
to
put it.
It's a weird thing to say.
Just say there's lots of UFOs here, man. That's all we need to know.
Out of all of the state in Utah, this is the hub. But anyway,
right.
So it's in this basin in Utah, and it's also got some tribal burial ground stuff going for it. It's described at one point in the documentary as this, like, Grand Central Station for paranormal activity.
Yes.
So
lots of lights. People see orbs.
The concept of the Skinwalker is a Native American concept. And as best I can tell, it seems to be a catch-all for what would largely be perceived as negative paranormal activity.
Right.
Not
which makes the name Skinwalker Ranch very weird.
Yes.
Is it like The Secret where you name it that and then the spirits show up?
Because the second string documentarian guy even says, like, over the years people have shown up, and if they want to see Bigfoot, they see Bigfoot. If they want to, it becomes like a Rorschach test for people who are visiting right. the paranormal scope.
Someone claims to see a dire wolf at one point, which is a real thing, but extinct hundreds of years ago.
That's my favorite part in the documentary because, well, aside from Robbie Williams, because, again, like, I don't know what late 90s time capsule he has been hiding in.
Yeah. But he came out of it
just for
to hang
this
out at
weird
Skinwalker Ranch.
Fireside.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Skinwalkers are, it's a Native American, a really catch-all for something very negative and weird. So we've got what I'm going to classify as three different paranormal veins of activity in this documentary.
Okay.
So there are the spaceship sightings.
Right.
There are the weird, more poltergeist moments of, like, you know, people saying that tools are moving.
Sure.
That kind of thing. And then you'll have what I is like what I'm classifying as, like, a scarier, demonic, creepy thing. Like, people hearing voices in their head, possession, or
right.
or hitchhikers, or whatever the hell Robbie Williams wants to say happened to him. The dissection stuff, possibly, and the dire wolf, I feel like all fall into a more, like, mythic, scary thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the dire wolf, I think, is the hardest thing to explain.
This documentary is, like, the golden corral of.
Yeah, it's a big buffet.
Everything is in this.
You can get it all at Skinwalker Ranch.
You can get it all in Skinwalker
33 Ranch. Locations in Southern California right now. Kids under 12
eat
free.
For free.
And will have their buttholes cored out for science.
Wow. I don't think it's possible to spoil this documentary, not because it's so good, but because there's so much.
It's so long.
It's so long. It's so slow. It's weirdly hypnotic, and at the end of it, you have a weird feeling. So I really think people should watch it. But
right.
I want to come back to something you said, which is, so there's a whole thing about animal dissection.
Yes.
And at one point, and there's the thing that is interesting is, like, there's real footage of these
dissected
completely
animals.
Completely cleaned yeah. off calves or whatever that they're finding in the fields.
Right.
And you don't think that's aliens?
No. I would direct everyone's attention to a second documentary called Mirage Men, which it's also, I think, on Netflix, and it's about a guy named Richard Doty, who spent his career basically as a government misinformation agent. Whenever someone had, like, people who live in these areas, whenever someone discovered something that might actually be a thing the government was working on, he would show up and go, aliens, what if it's aliens? And would feed people misinformation to discredit them. And a thing that comes up in that documentary, there's an area just like Skinwalker Ranch in New Mexico.
Shocking.
And what he says those areas are, at least the one in New Mexico, and I'll get to why I think the Utah one is the same thing. But at the one in New Mexico, it's an area where they used to do these underground nuclear tests. At one point, we had it in our head that we could maybe get natural resources out of the ground if we just detonate nuclear weapons down there. And we did that. It was called Operation Plowshare, I think, something like that.
Good name.
Yeah. And it basically irradiated the ground in this area. So what he says is usually happening when you see these cattle mutilations, there's always a UFO aspect, which is also the government basically trying to hide what they're doing. But what he says these cattle mutilations are in these situations is the government testing the effects of what they're doing in that area on living things. And that's why it's so surgical, because it's probably surgeons doing it. That's why they take like the tongue, the lymph nodes, and the butthole usually, because those are the areas where like cancers and things would be picked up
quickly,
most immediately. And at one point in that documentary, someone else talks about how while they were doing this testing on these animals and making it look like mutilations, they were also sending these helicopters meant to look like UFOs over the area.
I checked
so out. When people would discover these mutilated animals, people go, oh, shit, yeah, I saw a UFO. And the government can just go, yeah, it's probably just UFOs, guys. Don't even worry. Like, that documentary shook my faith in us being visited. I still think aliens are real. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think they still come here sometimes. But I also think the government uses them as cover for doing all sorts of heinous shit.
We've circumvented aliens now, and now it's a different conspiracy.
It is, absolutely. People should watch Mirage Men also.
I want to. It's good. I want to.
And the thing, what I was going to say about why I think that could be what's happening in Utah, damn it, now I'm going to just forget the name, the Dugway Proving Ground.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's a huge area in Utah that is, it's the largest section of closed airspace in the United States. So it's where it's another one of these like Area 51 type of places where the government.
Man, I just wish I had gotten a job at one of these spots.
I know. Or the CIA or something.
I would have been so good.
Yeah.
Because I would have shut up because I just would have known. Do you know how much satisfaction I would have walking around a mall knowing that I know things people don't know?
Right.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
They could just cut in front of me at line.
I'd go work there right now.
Yeah, is this our application?
Yeah, Dugway Proving Ground, if you're listening.
Adam and Caitlin.
Do you have an LA branch? But if not, we'll consider Utah, I guess.
I would absolutely move to Utah if it meant that I could work in a top secret facility.
Well, it seems like you can.
In a heartbeat.
And this place is, like, the counties that these two places are in are kind of far apart. But also, this Dugway Proving Ground is the size of Idaho. So it's a big fucking stretch of land. And what they test there, at least one of the things they test, are biological and chemical weapons, which could play into the people hearing voices.
I was going to say, coming back to the documentary, there is that poor woman who her son gets cancer and her friend gets cancer. And the idea that because they are around these aliens that they got cancer, I at that point, I'm like, this sounds like a government.
Right.
Thing.
And I think she even asked that question.
Well, yeah, the documentarian with 750,000 names is like, you know, what do you want to know? And she's like, well, I just want to know if this is real or if this is the government.
Right.
And in my head, I'm thinking like, there's nothing more real than cancer.
Exactly.
The real
yeah.
thing is your cancer. I don't know. I mean, I guess it could also cause hallucination. I mean, there's a lot. If there's another portion of the documentary where locals talk about hearing like huge clanging and things underground.
Yeah, under the ground.
So that's scary.
Yeah, that's scary in two ways, because another conspiracy theory is that aliens like live in mountains. Like that's what when you see a mountain with like a really weirdly flat top. That's like if you believe your ancient aliens.
A War of the Worlds thing. They're just waiting underground to wake up one day.
Yeah, either waiting underground or they're just there and that's where they live. Like there's so many ways.
I don't
ways.
Have a problem with that.
Yeah. Like if they're not. And even if they're out mutilating the cows, like at least you're not mutilating me, man. I'll take that.
No, I don't really. I think that was like I felt this like weird wave of disappointment listening or watching this documentary the first time because I was like, are aliens mean?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, I don't want... I really... I want like an Avatar thing or like a, I never realized, I guess, that I had bought into so heavily the, well, they're an advanced life form and therefore nice or whatever.
Right.
I guess I had, like, that had never been like a conscious thing that I had like worked out. But when I sensed my disappointment in the possibility that aliens are real mean.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's not.
There's got to be some mean ones.
Well, that's exactly where I went next. It's like, well, it's not like, so if there's one race of aliens, that doesn't mean there's just one. That right. means there's other aliens.
Well, there's the reptilians and the grays, if nothing else.
Yeah, but they're in the ground, right?
The reptilians, I think, are in the ground. I think the grays are inside the moon, I think is the...
What a boring place to live.
I know, not a fucking Starbucks in sight up there.
I mean, of all the planets... That's got to be the most boring.
The moon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why?
Have you seen that footage? There's nothing going on up
it's
there.
It's so boring.
There's no weather.
There's no weather. There's no sports.
It's just dust.
There's nothing. And these fuckers live up there.
There's just a flag.
Yeah.
Powers.
And they probably took that. They probably ate that by now.
You think they just
and eat. Absorbed the country's powers.
Oh, under that's what happened.
Right.
God. Yeah. All right. Here
have
I
you ever
thought.
Heard the conspiracy theory that we signed a secret deal with the Greys? And
I didn't need to hear it. I think I could have made it up. It sounds like something. The Greys.
They sound creepy.
They sound like the Hush Monsters from Buffy.
Well, what this conspiracy theory says happened is that in like somewhere between the 50s and 70s, we like made contact with this extraterrestrial group that was living on Earth and already on Earth. What is keeping us... from letting
the Greys will see you now
letting the public know is the Greys didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They were supposed to give us a bunch of technology, and this is all according to the conspiracy theory. I know I sound like a crazy person right now.
I mean,
they were supposed to give us a bunch of technology in return for us letting them experiment on our animal and sometimes human populations
in the flyover states, clearly.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And what eventually happened is they started going out and kidnapping kids, which according to this theory, that big rash of child kidnappings in the 80s that people blamed on the satanic panic.
Nope.
Aliens.
Uh-uh. Definitely aliens.
There's even a part of the conspiracy where we have built them a secret underground lab and we have to send in Marines to try and liberate this lab because they're holding human hostages, and we fail. And like 60 Marines die.
We fail every time.
And that's the only movie I ever want to write is Marines.
Well, I mean, it just sounds like Cabin in the Woods.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Okay.
So that could be happening there.
Why not?
One of the weird things to me that...
One of them.
Yeah, there's so many. But one of the things that I couldn't see any sort of government... testing, explaining, unless they're really working on some advanced shit, is that thing where like the four cows got moved into a trailer, but there's like no sign that the trailer was ever opened.
I think the poltergeist activity is the weirdest stuff in the documentary. Because I feel like it would stand to reason, because why not, since we're here. I think that he opens the documentary by saying something that it's an expression that I really love. He's like, there are, you know, some places on the earth that are thin.
Right.
And the Irish talk about, like, that's an Irish expression. Like, there are just thin places. And, you know, it's where ghosts and whatever, you know, because it's Irish, so ghosts.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about aliens. And I think that it stands to reason that if there was some kind of formal acknowledgement of this thinness on a planet... Like, why wouldn't you center your research there also?
Right.
So it would just all become kind of in and of itself.
Yeah. They do talk about, like, wormholes and things.
A portal. They say that it's, like, a portal. And then there's a part of the documentary where two people watch, like, a humanoid figure come out of, like, a wormhole, which is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, and I like that the wormhole was, like, 3 feet. So it's just a little modest wormhole, so no one sees it.
I mean, you when you think wormhole... Right.
What if a car had been coming? The wormhole appeared right in the highway.
Yeah, but see, I was like, I was kind of going down this road too, but then I was like, Caitlin, you dummy, it's a fucking wormhole. It can be whatever it wants.
That's a good
point.
It's
in and of itself, it's a wormhole.
Yeah, that car drives into the wormhole, it's going to be in trouble.
Doesn't matter. Like, you get snagged a little bit by the wormhole, you're 100% in the wormhole.
Yeah.
You don't graze a wormhole.
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff was interesting. Like the cows being moved around, the wormhole stuff, the paranormal stuff.
I had a weird thing happen to me on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Like a universe thing. Can I tell the story?
Absolutely.
Because it has a finale. Because the only reason why I'm bringing this up is A, like this is the whole point of our podcast. So there's that.
There is that.
But also just I feel like my mom used to talk about like this feeling of like being in the pocket.
Uh-huh.
So like when you're just like a lot of synchronistic things are happening all around you and that's really strange.
Sure.
So I got breakfast with a girlfriend of mine and one part of the conversation, like a 5-second part, was I just said, you know, it's kind of weird that I can't get a blowout in Long Beach. Like I can't just go somewhere. There's no like dry bar or whatever.
Right.
And we kind of laugh at like, okay, like that's a silly thing. And then we both get in this conversation about how like we've been on these very parallel kind of woo-woo spiritual journeys together. And we're like, wow, this is strange. We haven't ever talked about it. So it's like this really great conversation. Anyway, I go out and my son's with me and it's raining. And so I'm putting my son in the car and it's raining on my son. And I'm having this very self-conscious, like I'm the worst mom in the world moment because there's water getting on my son and I'm terrible. And my car looked like a garage sale. And just there was shit in it. I had like a vase in it. And it was not good. And I realized there was a girl behind me and she was like smoking a cigarette and like watching me do this. I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. But then she taps me on the shoulder and she's like, hi, I just want you to know that I just think you're doing such a good job as a mom. And I like almost cried. I was like, wow. Oh my God, thank you. And she puts her hand on my shoulder and I realize I'm standing in front of a hair salon. She goes, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? I was like, oh, well, I have to get ready for a wedding. She goes, why don't I give you, I'll give you a free blowout. And I was like,
what?
Okay. She's like, so just be back at 3. I'm like, all right.
That's crazy.
So I drop my son off at my in-laws' house, and I'm on my way back to Long Beach, and I'm realizing that I have an evening with my husband for the first time in a long time. Like we're gonna have the whole night together. My son's staying the night over at my in-laws' house.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get my hair done, and I'm like, I'm gonna go buy a dress. Like I'm gonna feel pretty for a night because normally I just feel like a crazy mom.
Right.
So I go to this dress shop. I walk in. The woman behind the counter looks like Robin Wright. She's just this like beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I'm like, this is not this woman's life. Like she's taken a knee and taken a break from some rad experience. Like there's no way she is a dress shop worker. So we start talking and sure enough, she's like a big deal. You know, she's worked for all these places, BB, and she's a buyer and all these cool things. She's got this great Southern accent. And we just hit it off. We end up talking for 2 hours.
Jeez.
And then at some point in the conversation, she goes, and last January, my whole life fell apart. I was like, oh my God, tell me. She talks about how she was dating this trust fund guy, but then she decided she wanted to get married. And so she told him that, and then he broke up with her and blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow, like girl time, amazing. So we exchange information. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. Now I gotta go get my, I've wasted all of the time.
Yeah.
So then I race to go get my hair done. I walk into the salon. And the girl's got this big smile on her face. She's washing my hair. We start talking. And out of nowhere, and this is not something I typically do, I'm like, are you an empath? And she goes, how did you know? And I was like, I don't know. I just like had a feeling.
Yeah.
Just kind of knew. I'm like, I'm not an empath. I'm more of like a download person. Like I get information. I don't get feelings. Mm-hmm. So we go back and forth. And then she goes, da 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 da. And my whole life fell apart in January. And I was like,
what?
What do you mean? So then she tells me that she was dating this woman and they moved to Delaware. And it's like, hi, we're in Delaware.
Right.
That's my favorite thing in that movie. But so I'm like, wow, that's really weird. So I'm like listening. She tells me her whole life story. So this is the second time in a row that day that I've told my life story to someone and they've told it back. Then she looks at me and she goes, you have to meet Cassandra. And I was like, okay, because I'm not, I have to now.
Yeah.
We go back across the street next to the place where I had breakfast that morning to this dress shop. And there's this girl. She comes out. She's beautiful. She's like half Japanese, half Mexican. She's just this like unfair, gorgeous looking person. But she's got this huge smile on her face. Her store looks like an Instagram account. And we start talking. She starts telling me her life story. And then she says, and then my whole life fell apart in January. And then my brain exploded.
Yeah.
And I was like, this has been a weird day. So I tell them all of this, and she goes, hold on a second. She comes back and hands me an invitation to a moon ceremony, and I'm going on Sunday night. Because I have to go, right?
You have to, yeah.
That's like, I've read too much Joseph Campbell If that whole thing ends in a literal invitation, I have to go, right?
Yeah, you have to go to the moon ceremony.
It's a moon ceremony. So you go and you, it literally, the invitation reads like the book from Beetlejuice. I'm going to read it to you because it is like the most insane. I have it right here. But like, I just sat there and I was like, okay, like, this is what the invitation says, which first of all, look how beautiful it is.
That is a nice invitation.
It's just a nice invitation.
Yeah.
Witches of the Dawn.
Oh boy.
So that's where this starts. Calling all those who are open, willing, and ready to a magical evening, feeling like you've been having some major shifts in life, then this is the night that you've been waiting for. How do I say no to that?
You don't.
So I'm going.
That I hope no Skinwalker Ranch shit happens.
But that's what I was thinking this whole time. It's like, what if I open a wormhole or a portal or something?
It's possible.
I mean, I'm technically already a portal. A person has come out of me.
Right, exactly.
So there's that.
Right.
We're just going to...
We don't know what fucking universe he was in first.
No.
There's no science behind that.
But on that, I was thinking about... Because normally the portal kind of thing, I don't like... But I don't know. It's like there's you before a kid and after a kid. There's before right. someone comes out of your vagina and then after someone has come out. It just changes you.
Right.
So if there's this wormhole thing happening at Skinwalker Ranch, to me, it just sounded like a less tangible version of what we all do anyway. So is that what's happening in the universe over and over again? There's just like different births happening?
Could be.
That's like a weird thought.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
It is.
And if that's the case, like... things are just getting birthed over and over again. I can see why it's like an intense spot on the planet.
Yeah.
My experience with childbirth was not easy.
Right.
So, just saying.
I would like to go to Skinwalker Ranch.
I want to go to all of these places.
Because the one thing they did note, or I think I read this separately from the documentary, all of these incidents and occurrences, I think there haven't been any since like 2000.
Well, I don't remember that part. But I do know that Skinwalker Ranch is on its second mysterious wealthy person owner.
Oh, I can tell you some stuff about that first owner.
Okay.
Robert Bigelow.
Robert Bigelow. Let's talk about Bob Bigelow.
I do a bit about him on stage.
What?
And it's because Robert Bigelow, probably now behind Elon Musk probably, but at one point Robert Bigelow was basically the man spearheading our hopes for space tourism. And one of the things he was working on was a space motel, and it's inflatable, but what's that matter?
Wait, not a resort?
It's in
a motel?
It's inflatable, yes.
It's an inflatable?
It's a balloon. And wait, if that makes you nervous, let me tell you I think the most important part of the Robert Bigelow story that gets left out.
Really quickly, everybody, he bought Skinwalker Ranch from the family that saw the dire wolf.
Right.
Just
right.
Important to bring up.
And also, he, remember all of those stories that came out in 2017 about how the government was like, hey, we don't know, maybe there's UFOs. Like, he's way involved in that. But the thing about Robert Bigelow being the guy to build the inflatable space hotel that lets us all go to orbit someday, Robert Bigelow is also the founder and CEO of the Budget Suites motel chain. So
you just blew my mind.
We're trusting a guy who runs a franchise with a synonym for cheap in its name to be
in space,
the future of space.
Because
travel.
If there's one place you want to cut corners, it's
exactly, yeah.
A giant vacuum.
The last space shuttle blew up because like a quarter inch piece of foam hit a rocket at a weird angle.
Meanwhile, if you have your keys in your back pocket and you sit on your spaceship wrong.
Yeah, you're going to kill everyone inside. So that's Robert Bigelow. And he owned the Skinwalker Ranch at one point.
He's the one that facilitated this like giant scientific effort on the Skinwalker
right.
Ranch for like a year.
For a few years.
Yeah, you're right. But then another mysterious person, and I really think it's Tony Robbins, and I don't know why.
Robbins isn't a bad guess.
The guy has the physicality of
yes.
Tony Robbins. And who else looks like Tony Robbins other than like The Rock?
And that voice, like even when they deepen it, that voice still sounds
it
like
has
Tony
his
Robbins.
Momentum. Yeah. Like his positivity.
Yeah.
And
we should mention to people that they show the new owner at the end, but they say, well, what his reasoning is, he's a legitimate businessman who has this big empire of legit businesses and he can't have them mixed.
Sounds like Tony Robbins to me.
I had four guesses.
Okay.
I agree with you on Tony Robbins. I think maybe Mark Cuban.
Yeah. He has the same.
Elon Musk.
Maybe.
And just a wild one at the end, Sting. Maybe it's Sting. What if it's Sting? What's Sting doing?
I dream of red. Oh my God.
I want it to be Sting, and I want that to be why Robbie Williams was. Because they cut from interviewing
what
this guy.
What is the connection?
They cut.
Why from, is Robbie Williams in this documentary? Perhaps the greatest mystery of them all.
And he's not even announced. They just spring him on you.
He shows
like a fucking dire wolf.
Feels like Robbie Williams is delivering dominoes.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And he is so fucked up. I don't mean like drunk. This man has been through something.
Right.
I don't know what it means, but he's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's some fire in the sky shit.
It really. Oh, and we didn't even mention the name of the company that this new owner works through. Adamantium Real Estate Holdings.
It's like you are you trying to sound like a supervillain?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you going for it?
They must be.
Adamantium, seriously, you need to go suck an IKEA bag full of dicks.
Maybe it's Hugh Jackman.
Man, if Hugh Jackman comes out as an alien person,
oh yeah,
before he comes out as a gay person, that would be the saddest coming out story in the world. That is the gay, right?
He's gotta be. He's so good at musicals.
It's not just that, though. And I'm gonna say this with all of the love in my heart. Have you seen a picture of his wife?
Yeah.
That is a beard.
Yeah.
Love isn't that strong.
Yeah.
And I will also go on record and say, I would totally sign up to be her if my life had gone different.
Oh, fuck yeah.
To me, that sounds like the only alternative to finding true love that's appealing to me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll just marry my gay best friend and shine on whatever it is that he needs me. And nobody will take care of me better than that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No one that's going to take care of me better than a gay man.
But also, how sad if that is what's happening?
Like, is it sad?
2018, Hugh.
Is it sad?
It's not sad. Well,
like, if you don't, like, okay, remember when Kevin Spacey's thing came out? And it was like, it took me a couple weeks to realize.
A lot of people remember when his thing came out, if you know what I mean.
Hey-o.
That's why he's in trouble now. Oh man.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy jokes.
It took me a while to realize that a large part of our country was still grappling with the fact that he was gay, which was something that I had known. I thought everybody knew that Kevin Spacey was gay. But then I realized that I live in an LA bubble where I know because I know. Like, I know people that know him and I know he's gay and I take that kind of shit for granted.
Yeah.
And his career fell apart pretty quickly. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he's gay more than anything else.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I really blew someone's socks off by telling them Michael Stipe was gay. And they were like, what?
What year?
I don't know, like 90s?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
He was like the first gay person I remember.
Right. I think he is the first gay person.
That would explain
so many things.
Much. Man, it's all coming together now.
We figured it out.
Night Swimming. I love that song.
It's
I was
really
just listening to that song recently.
It's a good album.
So, Skinwalker Ranch, if I had a different life, what I would suggest is getting stoned and watching it because that.
Yeah, you're going to want to be high for sure.
I was not high and I was still interested.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a little long.
It's like a half an hour too long.
Yeah. And most of that is Robbie Williams campfire footage.
Man, give me hours of that. I would literally, instead of the holiday fire this year, I just want Robbie Williams staring into a fire.
I hope he records an album there.
At the Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah.
I just want to know if he's okay. I don't think he's okay.
I want to know who owns the place. I want to know if it's Sting.
The other thing, if it's Sting, if the only thing that would make it better is if Paul McCartney somehow shows up in the mix.
Yeah. If Paul McCartney owns the publishing rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know he owns the publishing rights to I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas? It's one of the things.
Was that like a bundle? Was that in a bundle?
It's a thing. He just
do you
like,
get. Are there song bundles if you're a?
I think there might be, because that's what he does. He just buys up song rights and gets royalties on all these obscure songs for the rest of his fucking life.
Vera, Chuck, and Dave. It's like Dave.
Dave.
You had Vera and Chuck, and now we've got Dave. I was just playing the Yellow Submarine for my baby, which is like I realized
the cartoon.
No, just the album.
Oh,
I was
nice.
Like, or Sgt. Pepper's, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's the perfect kids album.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Real kids music is of the devil.
Yeah. That's...
We need to do a pretty scary episode on the scary stuff that's on YouTube that plays after YouTube videos for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I think all it should be is a reaction podcast. Because some of it is, like my husband showed me some of it, and it's bone-chillingly weird.
Yeah.
Like it's
horrifying.
Fucked up that anybody would put that stuff together. It sounds like something a skinwalker would do, honestly.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think people should watch this.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you like this podcast, you'll like this documentary.
Yeah,
like
it's not, even if they're not 100% correct about everything that's happening, we don't know if they are or not, but it's an interesting wormhole to go down.
It's a bunch of real good guesses.
Yeah.
Because frankly, I don't know.
Yeah. I would watch this and watch Mirage Men.
Now I want to watch Mirage Men.
You'll like Mirage Men. I mean, it's creepy.
We can talk about Mirage Men on the show, too.
Yeah. It's a creepy documentary. Oh, Carrie's here.
Carrie's here. She's back, you mean.
She's back. Right. She was sitting here quietly for most of the podcast, and now she's...
Stewing
in her
own juices.
Silence.
Silence juices.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to get Swedish meatballs.
That's right.
But you and I, friend.
And the lingonberries.
God, go to IKEA, man. And they're inexpensive, too.
Yeah.
It's like a Costco-sized bag of meatballs.
Just all the meatballs.
You just put them in a crock
pot. I'm going to check them out.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, so people should watch.
Yeah, watch Skin Rock. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime or Amazon. You can rent it on Amazon for $5. Yeah. Also, just like look up that Robbie Williams music video.
You guys.
Oh.
Sorry I'm late.
Hey, no problem, Carrie.
I made it.
Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay, cool.
No.
All right, great.
Is this coming out?
Don't worry about it. It was about space.
Yeah, it's about UFOs.
Yeah.
Space?
Yeah.
Dream Catcher.
Whoa.
Keira Knightley.
Oh, wow.
There's another one that's probably involved, though.
Yeah.
At least just her jaw.
Maybe Keira Knightley bought the Skinwalker
Maybe
Ranch.
Maybe Keira Knightley is a Skinwalker, which would explain everything.
Everything.
Everything, including her career.
Yeah. All right. Should we wrap this up so we can record and talk about buried treasure?
Yes.
Buried treasure.
Ooh, buried treasure. Yeah.
What do we have to plug? Patreon.com/unpops.
White Wine True Crime.
White Wine True Crime.
The next time we record, if anything happens at my moon ceremony, I'll fill y'all in.
Oh, yeah.
Follow me on Instagram, Caitlin Rose Cut on Instagram.
Can we record at your moon ceremony?
I don't know. I don't know how much menstrual blood is involved.
Can Carrie record and just watch the moon ceremony happen?
Yeah.
I do like that idea.
Yeah. Also, we should get a psychic in here to do tarot readings for us one night.
Oh, hell yeah. I'd be all for that.
You know,
they
didn't do tarot readings.
It's
just different. I want to bring in different kinds of psychics. Like I want the aura people. There's a lot.
We should probably sage.
Yeah, you probably need some saging.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Well, thank you for joining us, Carrie.
It was good seeing you.
This has been good.
Yeah. All right.
Cool,
bye.
Thanks. Yeah.
No. It was good. Yeah. It was good. It's funny too.
Thanks,
all right.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, my God.